I am Brandy. This is Aaron, if you don't know. And we have the honor of overseeing the children's ministry here and the youth ministry. And first, I want everyone who's involved as leaders in those ministries to stand up so everyone can see. So, I'm pretty sure there's some not standing, but. Oh, we never dismissed the kids.
Hello.
Oh, yes, let's do that. Hey, today, the older class, so 12 and up, they're going to stay in here because we can't find the children's pastor. So we are going to dismiss the younger ones, six and, is that right? Three to six and nursery. You guys can go to the door right now. Your teachers will take you to your classrooms. It's going to be a good time. This is all new to us.
Yep. So everyone that stood up, like people say that, you know, there's the saying, we couldn't do this without you. But we literally mean we could not do this without you. Well, first of all, because most of them are like our kids. So if they weren't there, we really wouldn't need to do it. But we really couldn't. The Gondas overseeing the worship band, and Kay, she oversees the middle class. Eileen, the nursery, the Stebbins. I mean, just too many to mention. We really value the help. This youth group, when did we start? September. And it's been going. These guys keep us on our toes. They keep us on our toes. They're amazing, these kids. They wanted to do treasure hunting, which we had never done before, so we did that with them. And they want to teach. Are you trying to say something? So this dance, by the way, that the girls were doing, they totally choreographed that on their own. Yep. They did amazing. They traversed the terrain of working together and compromise, and they did amazing.
Yeah, they did. I also want to repeat what older Alan March said, wherever you are. He said about his son, he goes, he just keeps surprising me, like every week. And so I want to say that all the kids that are involved in the children's and the youth, they have been surprising us. We're like, whoa, like, I did not expect that of you. I did not expect Ellie to want to be up singing on the microphone. I'm so blessed when she does. The youth, a couple of them have come up here and spoke, gave teachings, and there's two more that are set to go for teachings in the near future. So it's just really exciting. It's blowing my mind what God is doing in this house.
I want to say one more thing about the song that the girls danced to. I was listening to it this week, and I was remembering one time, I was actually sitting right over here, and I was really struggling that whole week with anxiety, really heavy, and even during worship, it wasn't lifting. And so the verse that song references is in Revelation, and John is seeing the scrolls coming and the seven seals, and he's asking, who's worthy to open this? There's no one on heaven, there's no one on earth, or under the earth that's worthy to open these seals. And he begins weeping, and one of the 24 elders is like, look, behold, the root of David, he's worthy. So we were in worship, and I just was struggling with that anxiety, and David Roach was here, and he came up, and he read that verse, and the anxiety was just broken, just completely off. And I don't know why it happens like that sometimes, and other times you have to navigate through it, but it just reminded me of the power of Scripture. Just like the song says, is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is. So if you're struggling with something, or even if you're happy, just get into the Word and read and memorize it until you understand that you are loved and you are cared for.
All right, we're going to get into the Word. We're going to build on Elisha's USB Jesus.
Yeah.
So, right. If you want to follow along, you can go to Colossians 1. We're going to spend almost the entire time in verses 9 through 12. We'll jump around a little bit, but that's mainly where we'll be. We're actually going to be reading from the ESV today, which I don't think we've ever done. And the reason for that is because we have this verse on a chalkboard, and it was an ESV, so that's why. All right, so let's begin with verse 9. It says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you." This is Paul talking in his letter. So what is the reason? What did he hear that compels him to pray? "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you." Was there a toilet paper shortage? You know, was there sickness? Were they struggling with doubt? Was there a natural disaster in the area? Was there persecution? Because that persecution was a big thing at that time. So what was going on that compelled Paul to pray for these people right here? Well, we actually get the answer in verses 3 through 8. Because he says, "And so from the day we heard," so in verses 3 through 8, which I'm not going to read, but you can put it up here, I'll point out some of the things that are mentioned in those verses, some of the reasons that compel him to pray for these people that he's praying for. They had faith in Christ Jesus. They had love for God's people. They had faith and love that spring from the hope they have in heaven. Paul heard the gospel was bearing fruit among these people and growing because they truly understood God's grace. And finally, they had love in the Spirit. Sounds like they were doing pretty awesome, right? So why did that compel him to pray? Why are those reasons that when he heard that, he's like, "Oh my gosh, since I heard that, I have not ceased to pray for you. Since I heard of your success in the Lord, I haven't stopped praying for you." I kind of feel like I don't do that, you know. I look at the broken and I ignore the people that are in success, and I'm like, "Oh Lord, I pray for the prodigals to return, and you know, let me not discourage you from doing that." But the truth is, we need to be like Paul, we need to be like Jesus and pray for those who are walking in success, and there are some real, real serious reasons for it. Like Paul, like as soon as he heard about it, he said, "We do not cease. I'm gonna keep this up." Let's think of some people throughout history, like Solomon, right? King Solomon. He was walking in the Lord's favor, and because of that, his entire nation was blessed. But I don't know if his nation was praying for him because he burned out hard. Elijah, he just experienced the greatest, like, move of God in his generation. And then just moments later, he heard the word of Jezebel and was lost it all. Like, faith in question, running away, hiding, unsure of everything, unsure of God's plan. He got over it, though. Like, maybe people were praying for him. But he struggled with it. And then, see, that's the thing. We're humans. We struggle. You know, when we're walking in faith, when we're walking in success in the Lord, we become a target to the enemy, and we need prayer. Let's pray for those who are doing well. There was a huge revival, the Welsh revival, maybe you've heard of it, and the guy, Evan Roberts, was this young guy, and he was kind of the head of it. Jesus was the head of it, but he was the guy the Lord called to, like, be the catalyst. And so he would come up and he'd preach a little bit, and then the Spirit would move, and amazing things would happen. The entire nation of Wales was radically altered. Yeah. And we want that in our town. But you know what happened to him, though? He had a breakdown, and he was taken in and nursed back to health by an opponent, somebody, this woman who does not believe the things of revival, did not believe the things that he was teaching, and this woman convinced him that it was all wrong, and so he never went back. He died depressed. The last entry in his journal was, "God, why was I even born?" Right. Pray for those in success. That's what I'm saying. Pray for those. Pray for leaders. Pray for those who are doing well, because we're human. We're targets. And pray. Pray for those who are doing well, just like you're praying for those who are not doing well. Verses 9 through 10, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." These are the things he prays for. They're doing well, right? They're walking in power. They're walking in faith. They're walking in love. But he's saying, my prayer for you that I'm praying all the time for, I've not even stopped praying for you, is these two things. That you be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And that you be filled in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So why those two things? Why not pray directly, Lord, we pray for more souls. We pray for endurance. We pray for power. But he went for these two things. He said, these are the two things that I'm praying for you because I heard you're doing well. I'm praying that you grow in spiritual wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord's will. And the answer to that question is found in the so as to in verse 10, which is so as, like, let me read the whole thing together. So from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. See, there's a lot of things that God has given us for free in salvation. He took the cross for us. And we did not do a thing to earn his grace. We did not do a thing to earn salvation. He gave us salvation for free. He suffered and died and rose for us. And now we are spotless in his sight. We are the righteousness of Christ. And you can't do a thing about it. You are the righteousness of Christ. You are holy in his eyes. You are made perfect in Christ, and that is free. That is freely given. There are some things that he doesn't give freely, but he gives us the way to. For example, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, having peace in your life, this is made available through Christ. But we have to do something to get it. Right, we have to take time. We have to abide in him. Now he made the way. Without Christ, we can't truly have peace. Right, we're gonna worry. We're gonna fret. We're gonna feel stress. But he made the way, and the way is taking the time to gaze upon the beauty of Jesus, to get in his word, to understand his will. Like he's praying for, I want you to know the will of God. I want you to know the Lord personally. And that is going to produce in you those things that allow you to walk worthy of the Lord.
Yeah. He's talking about how these things take time. I read this quote a couple weeks ago. It's by Ruth Choi Simmons. She says, it takes time doesn't necessarily mean that change comes slowly, though it may. It means that things that matter require a sacrifice of time. Also, this quote by Kobe Bryant. He's talking about his training and what it required of him to get where he was. It says, the 4 a.m.s and the 2-a-days become intentional choices, the hard things over the easy, uncomfortable things become routine. The discipline to put off instant gratification is the standard process. People will say, you're obsessed, you're not normal, and they're right, because it's not a normal journey. A big dream is something extraordinary, very different from what is normal or customary. And over time, as I'm beginning to realize more and more, the choice to take this journey is ultimately the reward. USB Jesus. yep, it is. That kind of reminded me. So through peer pressure, I signed up for a half marathon. I had already done it. I couldn't do it again. Just because, I mean, right now I couldn't. Anyway, it was peer pressure. And I'm going to tell you why it was peer pressure. So these group of people that I run with, just the other day, one of the guys, he was supposed to run the Boston Marathon for maybe like the 20th time. I don't even know. But he was very frustrated because it was canceled or postponed or whatever. So to take out his frustration, he ran 20 miles. So these are the people that pressured me into this. Anyway, it was that kind of thing where I had a training plan and I had to decide to get up each day and run. Otherwise, I would not do this well, or maybe not even finish. And it's like, you know, Ezra up here or Elijah or any of these musicians, they practice. It doesn't just come natural. And I could run and run and run and run, but I will never finish a half marathon in an hour and a half because I have limitations. My body has limitations. I won't be able to do that. But 100% guaranteed, if you put the time into seeking the Lord, it will return to you more than you put in. I mean, 100%, that is guaranteed. Yeah. Oh, sure. I do have a quote by Ravi Zacharias as well, along the same lines. He said, "Make up your mind every day to begin your time with God. It's much wiser to begin with God and then look at the world through his eyes rather than going into the world and looking at him through the world's eyes. Your day must begin on your knees."
What is the world groaning for? What are they longing for? There's something that they're waiting to be revealed, whether they know it or not. What is it? Yeah, it's for the children of God to be revealed. They are waiting for the children of God to be revealed. The children of God are only revealed when we start to resemble God, when we start to look like a child of God. Now, he has made us in his sight totally pure and righteous, but the world doesn't know that until we start to act like that. And we start to act like that when we start to hang around with a guy who acts like that, when we start to be like Jesus, who says, "I only do what the Father does." And so we got to spend the time, we got to put in the time. But as she was saying, every bit of it is worth it. Because it's not just work for an end, like it's not a means to an end. The work itself becomes the satisfaction. Sometimes it's dry, but then when the more you get into it, the more you realize Jesus' love for you. And it's a relationship that you want to get back to. It's just good stuff. All right, so remember, he prays that they would grow in spiritual wisdom, not the wisdom of man, not just knowledge, but revelation from the Holy Spirit to our hearts that we get when we read the scriptures. So let me continue reading this verse, verses 10. So he's praying, please, please get the wisdom of his will, get spiritual knowledge so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So all that stuff he just said is the result of the two things he's praying for. Hang out with God. Get filled with him. Get filled with spiritualism. Get revelation from him directly. Just get with God. Start. I mean, so this basically is the most simple, basic Christian teaching. Jesus died for your sins to save you. Receive him as your Savior. Spend time in prayer and worship. Like, this is our teaching today. Get to know the Lord because it's the most important thing. Now, sometimes when we get to learn of the other stuff, sometimes we go for the other stuff. Like, sometimes we hear about we need to show patience. So maybe we try to have patience or we try to have joy. How does that work out for you? I mean, I think about that sometimes. I think when I'm going through something difficult, in my mind, I know the verses. And I know it says that I can have joy in all situations. But I'm like, well, I'm not feeling it. I'm honestly not feeling joy. But you know what? That is a fruit of the Spirit that comes when you are being a tree planted by streams of living water. When you are abiding in the Lord Jesus, that grows in you and you become that. So sometimes we get excited about being strengthened with all power. I want to see the power of the Holy Ghost revealed in all of you guys. I want to see you guys prophesy to people and break chains off of people. I want you to go up to people and pray for healing, and I want them to be healed. I want to see Jesus in you guys. But Paul doesn't pray for those things specifically. He says, I want you to know Jesus. And then through that only can you start acting like Jesus. And we try to go for the other stuff without the first stuff, that we do it in our strength, and it doesn't work. We try to win the Daytona 500 without filling up at the gas station. When we were preparing for this teaching, I was thinking of the Genesis song, the Phil Collins song. It's Genesis, I think. Phil Collins singing it. I can't dance. I can't talk. The only thing about me is the way that I walk. And here's why I was thinking about that song. Because not all of us are called to the spotlight or called to platform ministry, while some of us are. Some people are gifted with a beautiful voice, and they can sing songs, and they can glorify the Lord from a spotlight position. And some people are gifted to talk. Tony's up here every week, and he's bringing the Word of God, and it's really awesome, and we're growing from it. But we're not all called to dance. We're not all called to talk. We're not all called to be in the public. The only thing about me is the way that I walk. See, you don't have to be. You just got to walk it out, because according to Scripture, that's the only thing that all of us are called to, is the walk.
That's right.
You guys are called to walk it out. Even if you can't walk, you are called to walk. Let's see. We are called to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord because we are brought into Himself. Oh, yeah, here's my point. I lost my place. So when it says walk according to the Lord, it is not saying walk according to your accomplishments or your failures. You only have two options when you walk according to your own value based on what you have done. You're going to fluctuate back and forth, depending on your mood, between pride and shame. Like, you're going to be like, if I walk worthy of what I've done, I've screwed up, so I'm going to walk in shame. If I'm going to walk worthy of what I've done really well, I'm feeling really good about myself, right? Those are your only choices. I mean, it's really hard to fake the middle. A lot of people do fake the middle, but, you know, humble brag. But this is the thing. We're not walking according to that. We're walking according to the Lord, because we were brought into Jesus, and we're walking according to that title, regardless of how well we screwed up or how well we're doing. It doesn't matter. We're not thinking about that. We're doing our best, and we're thinking, this is our standard. God has called us as ambassadors, as representatives of Jesus, and we're walking according to that. And I can do that without worrying about how badly I've done. And I can do that without having any arrogance, because it's all through Christ. He has made me righteous in His sight. Brandy's going to say something about appetite.
Yes. I'm hungry. It's like what Elisha was talking about. You know, what we're plugging in kind of is what makes our appetite. Tony talked about it last week. What did you call it? Something pleasures? Surpassing pleasures. Yes. We can train our appetite. I was remembering over Christmas how I was eating a lot of junk, and I'm sure I've told some of you, bragged maybe to some of you, that I memorized the recipe for edible cookie dough because I was eating it like every night. And normally I have a salad every day, at least once, and I want that. My body wants that. It desires the salad. But as soon as I started eating junk and eating the cookie dough and all that, that's what I wanted. And the salad sounded disgusting.
I'm still there.
Yeah. I don't have that memory, that recipe memorized anymore, but I could print it out if I needed to, but I shouldn't. So we can train our appetite. We need to learn to work with our conscience and plug into that USB Jesus and be training it for the pleasures of God and not the things of this world, you know?
Yeah. Also, as Tony talked about and Brandy alluded to, there's the surpassing pleasure is what it's being called, what we're calling it, of getting to know Jesus, meaning that all other pleasures are lesser pleasures. And there's a fantastic quote, which I'm not going to quote because I didn't bring it up, by C.S. Lewis, but I'll give you the gist of it. He says that we're too easily satisfied. We're pursuing pleasures in this world, and it's like people, they're content making mud pies, because they never even heard of taking a holiday at sea. And that's what we're being offered. We are being offered something so much more pleasurable than these things that we think we have an appetite for. Right. And maybe we do have an appetite for it, but the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Right. And you know, what we do in our private life matters a whole lot more than what we do in the public. And it becomes evident, too, through our fruit or over the holidays through your clothes not fitting. Eventually, people will notice. but they'll notice your fruit. If you're spending time with God, they're going to notice the fruit that's growing. So your private life matters more.
Did any of you watch either of the recent Mr. Rogers movies?
Yes.
Both of the movies seem to demonstrate to me the life-changing power of the fruit of the Spirit. A life that is lived by a person who is intending to walk worthy of the Lord, radically changing lives. And both of those movies really affected me. And so I pulled a quote from the most recent one, the one that Tom Hanks is in. And so the Lloyd character is talking to Joanne Rogers, his wife, Mr. Rogers' wife. And he says, "So how does it feel to be married to a living saint?" And Joanne says, "You know, I'm not fond of that term. If you think of him as a saint, then his way of being is unattainable. You know, he works hard at it all the time. It's a practice. He's not a perfect person. He has a temper. He chooses how he responds to that anger." And Lloyd says, "That must take a lot of effort." Joanne says, "Well, yeah. He does things every day that help to ground him. Reads scriptures, swim laps, prays for people by name, writes letters, hundreds of them. He's been doing that since I met him." And maybe you guys know people that are kind of like him, that are different than everybody else. They'll look you in the eyes and say, "You're special. Like, you matter. Like, I'm not just saying this. Like, I cherish you." We can all be like that when we start to hang out with Jesus, because that's what he's doing to us. And that's why it gets so fun hanging out with him, because he's always, like, lifting us up. It's like, "I like you. You are awesome. Do you know what you were made for? You were made for some incredible stuff. Boy, I got plans for you. You are amazing." And we start hearing that all day long. We start talking to other people the same way.
So do you suppose it's possible to live completely satisfied, walking closely with God, living that kind of life? We were talking about that. We were saying, like, we were going to end with that question. Like, is that possible? And it just came to me that Jesus was completely satisfied in that kind of life, to the point that he was able to resist the bread and the water in the wilderness, and to the point that he was able to go to the cross. He was so satisfied in his relationship with the Lord that he could do that.
Yeah, for the joy set before him. Brandy told that to me when we were working on this. I never even thought of that. It was satisfaction that allowed him to do it. Like, he was satisfied in Jesus, so satisfied, he didn't need fleshly comforts. He was so satisfied, it was okay that they tortured him. Now, he wasn't immune to it. I mean, he asked the Lord, "Is there another way?" And God said no. Then he's like, "All right, well, I'm satisfied in you. Even if it's going to be uncomfortable, I'm satisfied in you, so come what may."
Yeah, so just like Elisha talked about, like, be asking God, What am I plugging in? What am I plugging into that USB port? Is it you, God? Is there something that I need to give up? Is there something that's holding me back from being satisfied with you, or something that I'm hold as an idol that is satisfying me, that, or I think is, not really, just temporarily?
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have our second youth worship band come up. I would also like to have the ministry team come up, and any of the youth that want to join the ministry team, you are welcome to do that. And we're going to enter into a time of worship. We have a few songs, and I want to give you just an opportunity to just engage the Lord on your own. And if you want prayer for anything, whether it's to go deeper with him, or to be healed of something, or whatever it is you need prayer for, we're going to have a team of people up here, and you can come get prayer. You can tell them a specific thing, or just say you would like prayer. You don't even have to give details. It's up to you.